Welcome to Mysteries to Die For and this toe tag. I am T.G. Wolf, and I'm here with Jack, my piano player and producer. This is normally a podcast where we combine storytelling with original music to put you at the heart of a mystery. But today is a bonus episode that, as you all know, we call a toe tag. Get it? It's the tag that goes on the toe. It is the first chapter from a fresh release in the mystery, crime, and thriller genre. And the reason we do this is to help you find your next favorite book. Today's featured release is Hounds of the Hollywood Baskervilles by Elizabeth Crowens. All right, let's jump into chapter one. Chapter one, Flea Circus, Hollywood, 1940. Babs bundled Miss Marple in a beach towel. Otherwise, she would get clawed. Her disgruntled partner flinched from flea bites while holding a box of kittens. She looked around the vet's waiting room to see if she recognized anyone, but all she noticed were an unknown hausfrau with a French miniature poodle, a uniformed nurse with a cocker spaniel, and a frumpy elder with a Shirley Temple hopeful hugging her St. Bernard. The door flew open, revealing a tall, thin, but athletic gentleman with his chestnut hair slicked back. His striking profile rivaled classic sculptures, except for the sweat which dripped down his forehead. Under one arm were photostat flyers. Under the other, a folded-up copy of Daily Variety. Both featured photos of dogs. Guy poked Babs in the ribs to get her attention. Recognize him? She observed the newcomer, who explained his dilemma in haste to the assistant, but most of what Babs could see was from behind. Who? She asked. Rathbone. Basil Rathbone. The actor who played Sherlock Holmes? She asked. Shh! Don't advertise it to everyone on Sunset Boulevard. In a whisper, he disclosed the highlights of the actor's resume. That and Captain Blood, A Tale of Two Cities, Great Expectations, and more, not to mention quite a bit of theater. If we keep it discreet, maybe we can find out why he's here. Basil approached the lady with the cocker and asked if he could scratch him under his chin. Such a handsome boy. My Leo looks a lot like him, except his coat is a deep red rather than brown. He pointed to the bulletin board with listings for lost pets and adoptions and handed the front desk assistant his entire stack. I'll have more printed, he said. Please give them to all of your clients. If I can't find my poor Leo, I don't know what I'll do. Babs saw this as an opportunity to get acquainted. She sprang from her seat, clutching the hissing fuzzball wrapped like a jelly roll. Maybe I can help in your search. Basil narrowed his eyes. Do I know you? Babs Norman. She attempted to extend her hand for a proper introduction, but struggled with a snarling feline, cast as an extra in The Adventures of Robin Hood. Ah, Basil said, with Errol Flynn, in the days when the studios always had me play the villain. She gleaned from the subtle shift of his face that he didn't care for his co-star. He eyed her with sudden skepticism. Refresh my memory. What scene were you in? Almost all parts were male. When Sir Robin of Lockley revealed to Maid Marian that he had saved the lives of the desperate villagers, she said, I played a peasant wife, but my back was toward the camera. What a shame, Basil said. Babs blushed. I used to be an actress, but not anymore. What do you consider yourself now? Basil asked. The vet's assistant came between them. Miss, maybe he desires privacy. He ignored Babs and asked Basil, Sir, have you filed a report with the pound? I tried, Basil said, but I have little faith they can help. Everyone laughed and said, Sherlock Holmes lost his dog? Babs cleared her throat to get everyone's attention. First, she addressed the rude assistant. Excuse me, but you interrupted us before I could answer his question. Then she turned to Basil. The reason I'm no longer an actress is now I'm a private investigator. The gentleman next to me is my associate, Guy Brandt. Basil dismissed the employee's well-meaning intervention. Such an odd transition from acting, he said. What compelled you to get into that business? She lowered her head. It's a long story, she said. He didn't need to know the truth about her father's murder. I also have an acute talent for finding things, she said, whether they are people or pets. You have an actual private investigator's license? Basil asked. In my purse. She tried to fish it out while wrestling the cat, who broke free of her grasp. Between Guy and another member of the staff, they corralled the anxious tabby in a handheld cage. I am so sorry. Babs looked around at the bedlam of barking dogs. This stray doesn't want to nurse her kittens. I think she has... fleas. Basil scratched his arm. Looks like we're both having kittens. She felt an oncoming rash. Come again? Ah, he said. It's a particular old English expression. People believe that a witch's curse caused painful pregnancies, but instead of a child, they thought the woman had kittens inside of her, clawing to get out. Since I'm not expectant, it shows my uncomfortable position in more ways than one. Babs flushed, aware this was an awkward introduction for a potential client. Meanwhile, staff members brought the kittens in the back for examination. She plucked her ID and business card out of her purse. B. Norman, Investigations, in case you need proof, she said. Basil put down his copy of Daily Variety to accept the card. Babs swiped his tabloid, attracted by the photo of another dog on its cover. Someone else's dog is missing. Babs read the article out loud. Skippy, the wire-haired fox terrier known as Asta in the Thin Man movies, has vanished. Production is supposed to start on the next film featuring the lovable detectives Nick and Nora Charles. A $1,000 reward, no questions asked. Guy whistled. That's one hefty jackpot. Basil looked at her business card one more time. Well, if it's any consolation, I'll match that for the return of my red cocker. My wife will think I'm insane. I was offering 100. He showed them his flyers. For you, as professionals, I guess I'll make this exception, since now it looks like I have serious competition from producers with studio funds. Is that enough of an incentive? Our agency is on Hollywood Boulevard, close to La Brea, Babs said with a confident smile. Let's say I stop over tomorrow, Basil said, on the way to the studio. Perhaps I should trust your expertise if you say you're so good with animals. Babs nodded and forced herself to contain her excitement. Sir, do you mind if I borrow your newspaper? Keep it, Basil said. He handed her both his copy of the Daily Variety and several of his flyers. As he left, Babs turned to her partner. Who says we can't go after both Asta, or Skippy, and Leo? The vet returned with the verdict. There's no doubt your adult cat has a case of fleas, which might also have infested your furniture. The kittens are another matter. They're too young to eat food on their own. The obvious issue that you overlooked is that the adult is not their mama, because she's a he. Not so obvious with his long hair and thick matted fur, and that's why he wouldn't nurse the little ones. Babs turned red. I can't believe I was so caught up in the moment that I overlooked something that simple. A coincidence, I'm afraid, the vet explained. You must have put two and two together when you found this fellow near the box of abandoned kittens. The newborns will need a round-the-clock attention, and old Tom will need a few flea baths before he's ready to go back to anyone's home. Babs grimaced. She looked at Guy, and then back toward the vet. Can't play nursemaid while running a business. Don't worry, the vet assured her. Leave them here and my staff will handle it. We'll find good homes for all of them. All right, that is the first chapter of The Hounds of the Hollywood Baskervilles by Elizabeth Crowens. So here is my review. The Hounds of the Hollywood Baskervilles is a comedic cozy mystery. So Babs Norman, who you all just met, is a Hollywood stunner. But instead of gracing the silver screen, she's gumshoeing it through a star-studded streets. Hollywood's movers and shakers are reeling as canine stars and faithful companions alike are disappearing. Babs must mingle with Tinseltown's elite to find the hand that holds the leash. Yes, I am particularly proud of that synopsis. Bottom line, Hounds of the Hollywood Baskervilles is for you if you like cozy-styled mysteries and fun-filled romps through the golden age of Hollywood. All right, what are the strengths of the story? So one of the shining stars, of the story was the 1940 Hollywood setting. Crowens took us into the glitz and glamour of the parties and the mansions and the sets. It was one of the most unique and detailed settings I think I've ever read. You know, in some sense, you would think it would be ordinary. Oh, it's Hollywood. But setting it in the 1940s and then going into some of the details of whether it was the buildings or the clothing really was just a very cool experience. The depth of Crowan's imagination is remarkable as she brings a lost world back to life. The characters surrounding the mystery are just as creatively detailed. Basil Rathbone of Sherlock Holmes fame and his Watson, Nigel Bruce, Myrna Loy and William Powell. Crowan's takes what could have been cardboard cutouts of these icons and she gives them family, relationship troubles, friends, and secrets just like normal people. I don't know how much research she did or if it was or if what we read is the result of pure imagination, but it really works. It is really well done. The character of Babs Norman and her partner Guy Brandt are a good functional team. They are witty and engaging, but they largely play the straight role to the Hollywood icons. I do look to see how much a detective drives the story, and in the first half of the book, Bab goes about pretty much traditional Q&A that doesn't yield a whole lot of success. But then she decides to take a risk and really grab control of the story, and that's when it really starts propelling forward. The story has been classified as a cozy, won awards as a comedy, and is listed as a historical. All three are true, and so if you like any of those categories, I think you're really going to like this one. The story has a very steady pacing, and it's a clean storytelling style, and everything about this is a treat. So where did it fall short to an ideal mystery? Well, when it came to the motive behind the dog nappings, it was as solid as it was creative. But inside of that, there were elements that felt underplayed or inconsistent. So a little example, the number of dogs missing and their fame increases, but there really isn't an outcry. It isn't picked up really in the press. It's sort of believable when it was two dogs, it's just Basil's dog and this dog Asta. But as it grew, I felt like the story didn't really grow with it. And while it is critical, as I said, I always look to see if the detective drives her story. As you all know, I always look for the logic. There was a point where Babs earned her big break. She earned it. It would not have happened if she hadn't put in the time, invested the brain power, and, you know, bent a few rules, which we always like in our private detectives. But then the story took a dogleg turn, and she abandoned her first success for a half-heard reference. I had issues with the sudden redirection that seemed to fly in the face of the evidence that was right in front of Babs. In a category of personal preference, I struggled with the breakdown of the chapters. There are 38 chapters in this book, most of which are 7 to 10 pages. And then three of the last four chapters were over 20 pages long, each with subsections. I don't look ahead to see, you know, how many chapters there are or how many pages are in a chapter. So I was reading it, I got a little confused because I was used to these, you know, really quick hitting chapters that, you know, made a point, entertained me, you know, gave me a glimpse of Hollywood and then moved on. And then in the end, I had these very long chapters. So if nothing else, maybe just use this as a not a spoiler, but just a little bit of heads up that the end of the story is written a little bit differently than the majority of the story. All in all, this is a clean, fun read and highly recommended, again, for people who like cozy-styled mysteries and if you're especially a fan of 1940s Hollywood. So The Hounds of the Hollywood Baskervilles were released from Level Best Books and is promoted by Partners in Crime Tours, is available from Amazon and other book retailers. The Amazon link is in the show notes. So let's meet Elizabeth Crowans. So Elizabeth has worn many hats in the entertainment industry and has a popular caption contest on Facebook. She has three award-winning alternate history novels. Awards include the 2020 Leo B. Bernstein Scholarship from the MWA New York chapter, that's Mystery Writers of America, the New York Foundation of Arts Grant, an Eric Hoffner Award, honorable mention in the Glimmer Train Awards, and two grand prize and five first prize Chanticleer Awards, including for this, The Hound of the Hollywood Baskervilles. So Partners in Crime Tours represents a network of 300 plus bloggers, offering tailor-made virtual book tours and marketing options for crime, mystery, and thriller writers from around the world. Founded in 2011, PICT offers virtual book tours for well-established and best-selling authors. Man, my tongue is just, you get to the end of these, and my tongue decides, hey, let's see if we can talk while you're in a knot. And the answer is, I cannot. So, Partners in Crime, they do an awesome job. Whether you are a well-established author or just starting out in your career, they have packages that are the right size, and they really do an excellent job of coaching you to make the most of the hard work that you've done and getting it in front of people. So check out their website, partnersincrimetours.com, and I'll put that link in the show notes. All right, so that wraps up this toe tag. Join us next week for Season 7, Games People Play, where we have the first of a two-part story, and it's going to come out back-to-back, so we will not have a toe tag in 2 weeks. We're going to have two episodes of, it's called A Checkered Past by Frank Sefiro, and if you didn't guess from the title, Checkers is the featured game. So until then, Jack, take us out.